Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Let's ask for God's blessing, and then let's finish this off. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you are doing, and I ask, Lord, that you would be with us tonight as we finish the notes part, Lord God, of the subject of Freemasonry, and I pray that the DVD would also be an eye-opener, Lord God, exposing some of the realities of the subtle deceptiveness that's within Freemasonry. I do ask, Lord, that you'd bless our time together tonight, and I pray that most of all you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We're actually all the way towards the, I think it's the last set of notes. We're on H in the notes. H in the notes. That's where we stopped the last time. But before we get to H, we'll quickly go through G. And it's talking about the judgment of the damned. And what that was talking about was how that the Mason, or those within Freemasonry, how that they, when they go through one of the initiations, they are given a white lambskin apron. And when they wear this apron, it is something that pretty much covers right here. And that white skin apron is very interesting when you really think about it, okay? Let me see if this is the right one here. This is the white, that lambskin apron. It's kind of funny. And it covers this area of their bodies, as you can see there. It's also going into the area of how there is a generating principle. You'll see this in the DVD, and so I won't take the time to belabor the point. But they're given this lambskin apron at one of the initiations. And when they take that and they get that apron, they're in essence believing that that will cover them when they stand before God at the white throne judgment. It's right here, the statement was made before the great white throne there to receive judgment for the deeds done while they're in the body. And in essence, what the Mason is taught is that they're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment, but the Bible describes two different judgments. The first one being the judgment seat of Christ, and the judgment seat of Christ is the judgment where Christians will stand. And when Christians stand before God at the white at the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be a judgment for reward. Every born-again believer in Christ is saved. And when we're saved, we are eternally saved. That means when we come to God there at the judgment seat of Christ, I keep on saying it wrong, at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged according to what we did with our lives as Christians. And there we will receive reward for what we did. There's different crowns that the Bible mentions that are rewards. For instance, those that witness to people and tell others about Jesus, there is a crown for those that share their faith. There's a crown to those that are shepherds, that are feeding the flock of God, not out of constraint. We talked about that just this past Sunday quickly. It was mentioned in the scriptures we were talking about in 1 Peter. But there are different rewards that will be given, and those will be given at the judgment seat of Christ. Christians are saved, they are washed in the blood, and their eternal home is in heaven. So none of us have to be afraid that we're going to stand before God and He's going to turn us away. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. We're justified by our faith, and we don't have to be afraid of standing before God. Aren't you thankful for that? It's a beautiful thing. But the white throne judgment is the judgment of the damned. It's the judgment of those that are not saved. All of those that are not saved will stand before God at the white throne, and they will be judged there and then turned over to the lake of fire. And when we look at these Masons, they're looking to stand at the white throne. And in essence, what they're being taught, and they're actually being told what they're going to stand before, shows their lack of Bible knowledge. It shows that they don't even know what the Bible teaches, and sadly, it's to this white throne judgment that they say that they will stand, and that lambskin apron isn't going to cover them at all. There's only one covering that is going to cover us and make us able to stand before God, and that's the blood of Jesus and His righteousness alone. Amen? We can't stand before God on our own righteousness, because all of us, if we tried to stand before God on our own, we would all be damned. But Jesus has made us righteous, and it's our faith in Him as our Lord and Savior that has saved us. So now let's move forward to this part right here. The King of the Pit of Hell. The King of the Pit of Hell. This is again going into some of the Masonic teaching. In the 17th degree of the Scottish Rite, or the Knights of the East and West degree, after the candidate has completed the initiation, they are given the secret password. They're given a secret password, and that password is a word known as Jebulum. You all see that? Jubulum or something like that. It's a secret password that they're given, Jubulum. And they're also given a sacred word, Abaddon. So they're given the password Jubulum and the password Abaddon. And it's there that we get a clue to the identity of the Masonic deity that they're worshiping. It's revealed in the sacred word in the ritual Abaddon. Revelation 19:11 says this, "And they, which are the demons and the workers from hell, the demons had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has the name Apollyon." And so they're given this, what they call a sacred word, and it's the name of the King of the Pit of Hell. And this is a name that they're given to those initiates. Now it says, we must ask this question, how could any true Christian dare to take upon himself that evil name as a sacred word? Okay? They're taking on this name, Abaddon, as a sacred word. And should Christians be taking that on as a sacred word? No, of course not. But the reality is that they're given these kinds of things, and these things give us clues and hints to the deception that those that are within Freemasonry, what they're in. It shows us that they're caught up within something that isn't of God, to be honest with you, but really ultimately is of the devil. Notice what we're saying here is more of the devil than of God, especially when you watch the DVD. There's going to be a comparison between those that are initiated into witchcraft and those that are initiated into the Masonic Lodge. And watch the comparison and how similar they are. And it actually goes to show where all of this deception comes from. Now, the word is out. The word is out. The supposed quest of the Blue Lodge Masons is the search for the lost word. They're looking for the lost word. And I obviously made a mistake. This should say the word is out up here, but sorry about that. But they're looking for, as Masons, supposedly for a lost word. And most Masonic ritual is concerned with the recovery of that lost word, presumed to be the name of God. And so they're saying that there is a lost word, and that lost word is the name of God that was supposedly lost through the murder of the architect Hiram Abiff during the building of Solomon's temple. And so this quest is attained during the ritual of the Royal Ark degree. And so they're looking for this lost word, and they're saying it's the name of God. So what is it? Now it's here that the secret name of the deity of the Masonry is revealed. The name is Jobulon. You all see that? They say that's the lost word, the name of God, and the name is Jobulon. You all see that? So they're looking for this, and when they come into this particular area of Masonry, they're given this name. But let's break this name down to see what it means. Jah is short for the form of the Hebrew name God, Yahweh, or Jehovah. Okay, Jah is this part right here. Jah is where we get the word Yahweh or Jehovah. It's part of that. Then there is the second part, Bul, B-U-L, and it's the rendering of the name Baal. How many of you remember reading in the Old Testament about the gods of Baal? And that is the second part, Jah, Bul. The Bul is coming from that name, Baal. And then the last part is on, O-N, and is the term used in Babylonian mysteries to call upon the deity of Osiris. Osiris, this is one of those Babylonian deities, but Osiris is the name of that one. And the secret ritual book of the craft prints the letters JBO, and it states this concerning those three deities, but notice they're mixed into one. It's like their own trinity within masonry. Jabulon, again, the form of Jehovah or Yahweh, Baal, and Osiris. But they make this statement there, and it says this: we three do meet and agree in peace, love, and unity, the sacred work to keep, and never to divulge the same until we three, or three such as we, do meet and agree. So no Royal Ark Mason can pronounce the sacred, can pronounce the sacred name by himself. What is represented as the God of Masonry is really a three-headed monster so remote from the Christian Trinity and so blasphemous as to damn the soul of anyone who would dare to pronounce the name in a ritual of worship. It's interesting. It kind of shows this in the DVD, how that they can't just go say it by themselves. There has to be three people saying it together in a form of ritual, lest something happen to them if they say this name during that time. And so it really shows some of the darkness that is mixed within. And they really aren't announcing this to the initiates, those down in the blue degrees or the blue lodge, as we mentioned before. And so last but not least, let's look at the Shriners here. The Shriners. Remember, those that go through all the degrees of masonry can then opt into becoming a Shriner. So a Shriner, in essence, has been through all the degrees of masonry already. Now, everyone, for the most part, knows about the Shrine Circus. And there are many people who are helped by them. And so why criticize them? Do they have something to hide from the world? I mean, here we come to church, we're coming and we're talking about the Masons. Do they have something to hide? Why do we have to go and burst their bubble, right? Now, do they have something to hide? Well, of course they do. They're hiding something. And that's exactly the case with the Shriners. Their public image is that of a fun time group pouring out millions of dollars into charity, all the while dressed up in a party spirit, wearing their red fezes with great aplomb or complete and confident composure when they do it. So they wear those red fezes. They look like a fun time group. And so the fez, remember we talked about that quickly the last time, the red fez itself is an example of the double meaning behind most of Freemasonry's facade. Now, these fezes are worn by every Shriner. All Shriners wear those red fezes, and even they're carried into the grave with pompous dignity. The history of the fez, though, is both barbaric and anti-Christian. I mean, whenever we look at that, it's totally barbaric. Oops, what happened? Did it finish? Wait, let me get this on there. Okay, an anti-Christian. I guess that's it on the slide. But let's go forward here, and I'll tell you what to fill in for the rest. In the early 8th century, Muslim hordes overran a Moroccan city of Fez. So the city is named Fez. And they were shouting, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." There, they butchered the Christian community. These men, women, and children were killed, and because of their faith in Christ, all in the name of Allah, the same demon God to whom every Shriner must bow in worship, with hands tied behind his back, proclaiming him the God of his fathers in the Shriner's initiation at the altar of obligation. So it's interesting what they're doing there. They're really proclaiming the God of Islam to be their God. In usual occult fashion, the initiate swears that he will be inseparably obligated to his most powerful and binding oath. You want to write those two words in there? The most powerful and binding oath in advance, that he may never retract it or depart from it. And so they're binding themselves by these oaths not to depart from these different things going on. Now, during the butchering of the people of Fez, when they were going and killing all of those in this town named Fez, the streets literally ran red with the blood of the martyred Christians. So they killed enough that there was blood running on the streets, enough to flow in a sense. The Muslim murderers then dipped their caps in the blood of their victims as a testimony to Allah. These bloodstained caps eventually were called fezes and became a badge of honor for those who killed a Christian. And so whenever people, especially those that call themselves Christians, become Shriners and they wear that red fez, they're in a sense turning away from their own faith, and they're actually exalting those that killed Christians back during this time. And so it's interesting how those red fezes are worn by those that are within the Masonic Lodge. But those red fezes or fezes are also worn by those within Islam as well. And so it shows the compromise and it shows the wickedness of Masonry. The Shriners, last but not least here in the notes, wear that same red fez today with the Islamic sword and crescent encrusted with jewels on the front. That's the greatest tragedy, is that the fez is often worn by men who profess to be Christians themselves. And so it's really sad to see the corruption of those that are within Masonry, assuming they're Christian but doing things that are contrary to Christianity at the same time. And so it shows how bad ignorance can be. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes within the church, people are ignorant of things that are going on right around them. And that's why it's so important for us to be people that not only are full of God's word and prayer, but also we must be educated in regards to those things that are around us, like what's going on with the Masons or the cults or world religions that are around us. To be informed that way is very important, because there's, you know, how many times have you been around someone and they're a part of a particular religion or a particular thing, and we wonder, what do they believe? What do they teach? What are they believing? And sometimes we don't even have a clue. And so that's why it's good to be informed this way, to understand. And those within Masonry should also be informed so that they won't join such foolishness, to be honest with you. And so, y'all ready for the DVD?